بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. وقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. Respected ulama kiram, brothers, elders in Islam, the verse of the Quran which I recited before you, in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few great favors of His upon the mu'mineen, upon the ummah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, surely indeed Allah has conferred His blessings, His favors upon the believers, upon the mu'mineen, by sending to them from amongst their own species a Rasul, a messenger. And this messenger came with basically four functions: يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, in order to recite the verses of the Book of Allah to the believers, to teach them how to recite the Qur'an, how to pronounce the Qur'an, teaching them the words of the Qur'an. And also his second function, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to cleanse them externally and internally from all filth. وَيُعَلِّمَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, the third function, to teach them the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with the words of Allah, to teach them the meaning of the Book of Allah, that what Allah ta'ala requires of us. And also the fourth function, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, to teach the people the aspect of wisdom. Here the Mufassirin say wisdom refers to talks or words and deeds that are beneficial to the Muslim Ummah. And the benefit that Nabi Sallam conveyed to the Ummah was by his word and deed. So in other words, hikmah refers to the sunnah of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala has conferred these great favors upon us, the mu'mineen, and it is logical and very natural that in proportion to the greatness of a favor conferred upon us, in proportion to that we'll have certain rights that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enjoy over us. The more the favors, the more the bounties, the greater the rights that Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys upon every single ummati of his. The ulama kiram have summarized and condensed the rights of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this ummat under three basic topics, and that is muhabbat, aqidat and itaat. That these are the rights of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon you and I, the ummat of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that we show true love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And second is aqidat, that we have the firm belief and the firm conviction that our success of this world and the hereafter lies very, very clearly in the teachings of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Nabi Karim sallam brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, therein lies our salvation of the akhirat and success of this world as well. To have that firm belief and conviction that our success only lies in his teachings. And the third, the right of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that of ita'at. That after having love for Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after having the conviction that what Nabi sallam has brought to us is haqq, it is a truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then thirdly, to put that into practice, to implement it into our lives, the teachings of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the three basic rights that Nabi Karim Sallam has over his ummah: that of muhabbat, that of aqidat, and that of itaat. And why should he not have these rights when we know that this universe and whatever it contains, our existence on this planet, the existence of the birds, the animals, the existence of the trees, mountains, the sun, moon and the stars, all these things owe their existence to the existence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whatever Allah Ta'ala created was for the sake of His beloved Nabi, Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam may be pleased, in order that every creation should serve Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the existence of the entire universe is based on the existence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala created whatever we see around us. So because this favor of Allah Ta'ala is so great and so bountiful, so profound, so therefore there are certain rights that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over us that we have to fulfill. The first of these rights, as I mentioned, is the right of muhabbat, that we have true love for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you can be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than his parents, his children, and all of mankind. That in our hearts, uppermost, we have the greatest of love for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more love for him than our parents, than our children, and more love than everything else that this world contains. Then only will we be said to be a true believer, a true mu'min, and a true obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we study the lives of the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the amount of muhabbat love that they portrayed for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will be totally astounded. Such unparalleled love, no one can ever display for another person in this entire creation. Such was the love that the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in displayed and portrayed for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith tells us that a person can only truly be a believer if he has more love for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam than even his own children. Examples of this became manifest in the lives of the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. For instance, on one occasion, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr radhiyallahu ta'ala, the son of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala, on one occasion he was seated somewhere with his beloved father, with Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala, and they were busy reminiscing about the past. So Abdurrahman said to his father that on the battlefield of Uhud, the battle that took place between the Muslims and the Mushrikeen, the non-believers, at that point of time, Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, had not as yet embraced Islam. He was in the enemy rank, in the enemy army. He came onto the battlefield to oppose Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslimin. So Abdurrahman says to his father that on that battlefield, you were within my sights, you were within my target. I saw you clearly on the battlefield. And if I had to release an arrow, it would have pierced your body, you would have dropped down dead. I had the full opportunity. Nothing could have held me back, except for the fact that I considered that this is after all my father, the person who was responsible for bringing me into the world, my beloved father. So because of that love for my father, that inherent love that a son has for his father, I did not release that arrow. I spared your life. So in turn, Abu Bakr replies by saying that, listen, O my son, if on that battlefield had you come within my sights, if you were within my target, if I had the opportunity to strike you down, I would not have spared you. I would not have considered that you, my son, solely because of the fact that you came onto the battlefield in order to oppose the beloved of Allah and the beloved of all the mu'mineen, Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this shows that they had more love for Rasulul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than even their own children. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that I would not have spared you. I would have killed you. But fortunately, you did not come in front of me. You are not within shooting sight. You are not within the target range, which is why I could not kill you. Another example where we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held him in more esteem and loved him more even than their own parents. When the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah took place in the year 6th Hijri, then because there was a truce between the Muslimin and the mushrikeen of Makkah could come to and fro to Medina Munawwara, visit their families, visit their relatives. So on that occasion, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, after the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, he was not yet a Muslim. He became Muslim in the year 8th Hijri, when the conquest of Makkah took place. So before he accepted Islam, he came to visit his daughter in Medina Munawwara. His daughter was none other than Ummul Mu'mineen, Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he entered the home of his daughter, he saw that the bedding of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying open. So he walked towards the bedding in order to sit down on the bedding. When Umme Habiba saw this, she quickly rolled up the bedding and put it away on one side. So the father was taken aback by surprise. He said to his daughter, "Oh my beloved daughter, it is a custom of the world that children show such honor and respect for their parents that even if the bedding is not laid out in honor of their parents, they will lay out the bedding. Yeah, the bedding was laid out, but when you saw me going to sit on the bedding, you rolled it up quickly. Tell me, be honest with me, do you feel that the bedding is not fit for me, or am I not fit for the bedding?" So the daughter replied that, "I have to be honest and frank with you, O my father. I feel that you are not fit for this bedding. You are not fit to sit on this bedding because you have kufra and shirk in your heart. And this bedding belongs to none other than the most beloved creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you are not fit to be sitting on this bedding." So she put that away. Look at this display of love, that she showed more love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than her own father. Similarly, the hadith says that a person cannot be a true believer then when he has love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than the rest of mankind, more than his entire family, more than everyone else. An example of this took place at the time of the Battle of Uhud, when the rumor began to filter through, which of course was a false rumor, that Nabi Kareem Sallam has been martyred on the battlefield of Uhud. He was not martyred, yes, he did sustain some injuries on his head, on his mouth. He lost one of his teeth as well. So the rumor was flung about that Nabi Sallam has been martyred. This certain Sahabiya lady, after the battle had ended, she ran forward from Medina Munawwara to the plains of Uhud, to the mountain of Uhud, in search of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She wanted to console herself. She could not accept that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the world. So she went out in search of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone returning from the battlefield said to her that your father has been martyred in this battle. So she said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." But pray tell me, how is the beloved of Allah? What is his condition? As she proceeded further, someone else coming back from the battlefield said to her that your husband has lost his life and become martyred in this battle. Again she recited, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." But tell me, how is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then someone said to her that your brother has also lost his life on the battlefield. Again she recited, "Inna lillahi," and said, "How is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Eventually when she saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although being injured, he was alive and well, she said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullu musibatin ba'daka saghira. That when I see you alive and well, then every other calamity pales into the shade. It has no significance. Immaterial whether I lost my father, my husband, and my brother, but you, O Nabi of Allah, are alive and well, that is sufficient for me. So this shows they had love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than their close relatives, more than the entire mankind. In fact, they had love for Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than even the limbs of their bodies. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, a Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi radiallahu ta'ala, this was that Sahabi was fortunate to have been shown the Adhan in a dream. It was on the basis of his dream that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was put at ease by Allah Ta'ala, that this is the way to call people towards prayer. When the Muslimin made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, there was no formal way of calling people for the salah. So a mashra, a meeting was held. People gave different views. Someone said that let us raise a flag above a mountain. So this opinion was not liked by the people, that it means that everyone must continue looking towards the mountain on the outskirts of Medina. People are engaged, engrossing their work. They have no time to look in that direction all the time. Someone gave the opinion that let us light a fire. When they see the fire, then they will know it is time for salah. This opinion was not also accepted by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First and foremost, again people will have to look in that direction to see when the fire is lit. At the same time, because this has a connotation with the fire worshippers, the Majus, the fire worshippers, they worship the fire. So we cannot have something that has a connotation of shirk associated with our ibadat. So even this opinion was rejected. Someone else gave the opinion, let us ring a bell, like the Christians ring the bell in the church. So even this was not accepted, although Nabi Karim Sam had a little bit of inclination towards this opinion, but it was not formally passed. So that night, this Sahabi Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi radiallahu ta'ala saw in a dream a farishta that descended from the heavens, that came in human form. And this farishta in human form had some bells with him. So the Sahabi went up to this farishta and wanted to purchase the bells. The farishta asks him, what are you going to do with the bells? He said, I will use it to ring the bells and summon the people for salah. So the farishta said to him, let me teach you a better method. And that is when the farishta taught him the words of Adhan that we hear five times a day today. This is how the Adhan was implemented. He rushed forward before Fajr Salah to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and explained the dream. By that time, by virtue of divine revelation, Nabi Karim Sallallahu was put at ease that this is a message from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu looked around. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala had the highest pitched voice and the loudest voice. He was appointed to call out the call towards prayer, the Adhan. So that is how Adhan was implemented. So this Sahabi Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi radiallahu ta'ala, the day when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, when he received the news of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's demise, immediately he made dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allahumma adhib basari hatta la ara ba'da habibi ahada. That, oh Allah, I used to use these eyes to look at the beloved countenance and the face, the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is no longer in our midst. He has come to meet you. He has passed on. So what is the use of these eyes? Oh Allah, take away my eyesight. I feel there is nothing else worth looking at. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left the world, and the tradition says, فَذَحَبَ بَصَرُهُ, Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua and he lost his eyesight. So look at this, their love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, more than they love their own organs, more than they love their own faculties, the limbs of their bodies. Hazrat Uwais Qarni rahmatullah alayhi was not a sahabi. He was a tabi'i and a very, very great tabi'i, considered to be the greatest of all the tabi'in. He lived in Yemen and he was alive, living during the era of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had that burning desire after accepting Islam to travel to Medina Munawwara, stay in the company of Rasulullah Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one thing held him back. His mother, who was old and frail and sickly, there was no one else to look after his mother. So he could not leave his mother to depart for Medina Munawwara. He was a caretaker of his mother and this information was given to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam by means of wahi, divine revelation. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam applauded this action of Hazrat Uwais Qarni rahmatullahi by informing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that there is certain man, certain brother of ours in Yemen who wishes to come to Medina Munawwara to meet me. But the service and khidmat of his mother is holding him back. He is engaged in the service of his mother. He has to care and look after his mother. For that reason, he cannot come to Medina Munawwara. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not rebuke him for this. Did not make any objection. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam applauded him for this action. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself knew that after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the right of the Rasul of Allah, a person's parents' rights precede the rights of everyone else. That is why in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ اللَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah Ta'ala decrees that you should worship none except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala commands you to be kind and loving to your parents. So because he was engaged in the service of his frail mother, he could not come to Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallam explained to the Sahaba that what a great status he has attained in the sight of Allah just by looking after his mother. Today we do not appreciate our parents. What a favor they are unto us. During the time of Hajjatul Wada, a certain Sahabi comes to Makkatul Mukarrama to join Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He travels all the way from Yemen. He brings his old and frail mother together with him. When he was about to commence the tawaf, his mother is disabled. She cannot perform the tawaf herself. In those days, there were no wheelchairs like today. So this loving son of his mother carried his mother on his back and performed the seven circuits, the seven rounds of the tawaf in that manner. Thereafter, he went to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah Ta'ala granted me the tawfiq and the ability to serve my mother in this way. I brought her all the way from Yemen for her hajj. I put her onto my back so that she can make tawaf. O Rasul of Allah, tell me, have I fulfilled the rights of my mother? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, addresses him, a young man, that listen, my son, you have not even fulfilled the right of a single drop of milk that your mother breastfed you with. In spite of making all this effort, such are the rights of our parents. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba that there is a man in Yemen, one day he will come to Medina Munawwara. That is after his mother passes away, he will have the opportunity of coming. When he comes to Medina and you meet this person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave certain signs that you will see on his body. When you meet this person, ask him to make dua istighfar for you. Imagine the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu, the greatest of tabi'in, cannot reach the status of the lowest ranking Sahabi. Yet Nabi Sallam telling the Sahaba that request this tabi'in to make dua istighfar for you. So when this Uwais Qarni heard during the battlefield of Uhud that Nabi Sallam had lost one of his teeth, he took his bare hands and he removed several of his teeth. He was not sure that which particular tooth Nabi Sallam had lost. He removed several of his teeth. We can well imagine how much pain he endured. Today we go to the dentist. Just looking at the syringe, the injection of the dentist, looking at the pliers, looking at the various tools, that itself is enough to knock us out. We close our eyes, we do not want to see these tools, these instruments. We cannot tolerate a tooth being extracted even after anesthetic upon anesthetic. Yet we cannot take it. Yet the Sahabi with his bare hands removed a few of his teeth in sympathy of the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had lost one of his teeth. If this was not love, then what do we consider love for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? On one occasion, this is to illustrate that the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in had more love for Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam than even their own physical bodies too. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala one seated in the company of Rasul Karim Sa'asim, he says to Nabi Karim Sa'asim, La anta ya Rasul Allah, ahabbu ilayya min kulli shay'in illa nafsi. That, O Rasul of Allah, I feel that you are more beloved to me than everything else in this world, except my own body, except myself. When Nabi Sa'asim heard this, Nabi Sa'asim said to him, La ya Umar, حتى أكون أحب إليك من كل شيء حتى نفسك. That no Omar, you cannot attain true love for your Nabi until you love me even more than your own self. You hold me more dearer to you than even your own body. So then as Umar radiallahu ta'ala did a bit of introspection, he lowered his head and pondered for a little while. Then he realized that I made a mistake. I seem to have more love for Rasulullah Kareem Sa'asim than my own body. So then he said to Nabi Sa'asim, Ya Rasulullah, Anta ahabbu ilayya min nafsi. That you are more beloved to me than my own personal self too. On that Nabi Sa'asim said, Al-an ya Umar al-an. That now you have reached the pinnacle of love. Now you have shown true love for your Nabi. That once you love Nabi Karim Sa'asim, even more than one loves one own possessions, belongings, one's own physical body too. Which is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain were prepared to lay down their lives for Rasulullah Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion when Nabi Sa'asim sent out a group of 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain for mere observation purposes, the Amir of the Jamaat was Asim bin Thabit Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. When they went into the enemy territory, the enemy came to know that this group of Muslims are wandering around our territory. They searched for them. They had expert trackers. They saw the pits of the Khajur of Medina Munawwara, and they knew there are people from Medina in the vicinity. And they tracked the footprints until they found that the group of Sahaba, a group of 10, were camped at the top of a hill, a little mountain. They surrounded the mountain. And eventually they released the arrows. Out of the group of 10, 8 of them were martyred at that spot. 2 were taken into captivity. Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Zaid bin Dasina radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala was brought to the gallows, he was about to be executed. He took permission from his captors that allow me grace. I wish to perform 2 rakats nafal salah before I go and meet my creator. So they allowed him the time to perform 2 rakats. They decided to so-called humor him that eventually we are going to behead him. How long will he last? So they allowed him to perform 2 rakats salah. After he completed 2 rakats, he said to them, that I have this inward urge to perform another 2 rakats and another 2 and another 2. But you would perhaps say that I am procrastinating, I am dilly-dallying, I am postponing my death, my execution. So now go ahead and do what you want to. So before they were going to execute him, he read a few couplets which went along these lines. That lastu ubali hina uqtalu muslima. لست أبالي حين أقتل مسلما على أي جنب كان في الله مسرعي وذلك في ذات الإله وإن يشاء يبارك على أوسال شلو ممزعي. He said, ولست أبالي حين أقتل مسلما. I have no care in the world because I'm leaving the world in a state of Iman and Islam. I'm leaving the world showing love for Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I do not care a hoot about everyone else, knowing that I am leaving the world with the wealth of Iman. So I am being killed as a Muslim, and I am not worried when they execute me, in which direction my body falls, it matters not, because I will be sacrificing my life, laying down my life for the cause of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, that Allah Ta'ala has the total power. that even if these people after they execute me, if they were to cut my body up into bits and pieces, then too Allah Ta'ala will shower His barakat on every limb, every portion of my body. And then they executed him. He passed away. Allah was so merciful that after they executed him, they took his body out into the desert, waiting for the vultures to come and devour the body. They strung his body up. And there are a few people to keep guard there, that Muslims should not come and release the body. They wanted the body to be desecrated. But Allah Ta'ala did not want that. Nabi Kareem Sawasim got the information. He sent to Sahaba, the Zubair bin Awam, Hazrat Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu ta'ala, that go to that point, you will find the body of Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. Release the body, bring it back, so that they cannot desecrate the body. They were going to have it devoured by the vultures. So when these two Sahaba got there, they found the two guards there, dozing off. They got the opportunity. They cut the ropes and they released the body of Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. They put it onto the horse, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala, and they fled from the scene. That is when these people woke up and they gave pursuit, and Zubair bin Awam realized that because of the weight, the load on my horse, these people will catch up with me. So he took the name of Allah and released the body of Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi very gently. When it came onto the ground, Allah Ta'ala caused the ground to open up, and he swallowed up the corpse of Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala, thereby not allowing them the opportunity to desecrate the corpse. After that, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed, he gave Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala the title of Bali'ul Ard. He was swallowed up by the earth. Allah Ta'ala saved his body from desecration. So look at this, the love for Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala and his companions, they gave their lives for the cause of the deen of Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other captive, the prisoner of war, Hazrat Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, when he was brought to the gallows, about to be executed, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, not as yet a Muslim, he was about to have Hazrat Zayd bin Dathina executed. So he posed a question to Hazrat Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, that atuhibbu anna Muhammadan al-an fi makanika nadribu unaqahu wa anta jalisun fi ahlik? That tell me, O Zayd, would you prefer that at this point of time we capture Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your place, we behead him and let you go scot-free? Will you prefer that? Hazrat Zayd bin Dathina radhiyallahu anhu replied, لا أحب أن محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه تصيبه شوكة وأنا جالس في أهلي. That I cannot even tolerate this much, that wherever my beloved Nabi may be seated, I cannot even bear to see a thorn prick his Mubarak foot while I sit in the comfort of my home. When Abu Sufyan heard this, he said, ما رأيت أحدا يحب أحدا كحب أصحاب محمد محمدا. Till today, I have not witnessed any single person showing such love for another like the love portrayed by the Sahaba for their beloved Nabi. This was the love that these people had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you can be a true mu'min until he holds me more dear to himself, more beloved to himself than his own parents, his children, and the entire mankind. And why should we not have love for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed those sublime qualities that cause a person to be inclined towards him, that cause love to be created in the heart of the observer. In this world, if you look around, fundamentally the reasons why one person has love for another person, one of the reasons is that he's attracted by the beauty of that object or the beauty of that person. A person goes into a rose garden. It is human nature when you see those beautiful flowers, those beautiful roses, you become inclined towards them. Why is this? Because of the beauty that Allah Ta'ala has created within those flowers. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim's beauty, Nabi Sa'asim's handsome features were unsurpassed. No one could match them. Such were the beauty and the handsome features of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, it was a full moon's night, and he was sitting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam resting his head upon the lap of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says, when I saw the beloved and radiant face of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and when I looked towards the full moon, the radiance of the moon, it took me a while to fathom that what is more beautiful, what is more radiant, the light of the moon or the light shining from the face of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, eventually I had to concede and admit that the radiance of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is outshining the radiance of the moon. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, with regard to the beauty of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she used to say that the women of Egypt, when Hazrat Yusuf Alayhi Salam was well known for his handsome features, for his beauty, when he entered the room, and prior to that, Zulaikha gave these ladies an apple and a knife in order to cut the fruit. Then she bid Yusuf Alayhi Salam to enter the room. He was unaware that all these ladies were seated there. No sooner had he entered the room, these women were so much blown away and astounded by the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, that accidentally, instead of cutting the fruit, they cut their fingers. So the Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha used to say, if the women of Egypt had seen my Yusuf, that is Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would have slit their throats and not only cut their fingers. In a way, she was indicating on another occasion, she explained the meaning of this, that the women of Egypt only slit their fingers. The Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in are laying down their lives, having their throats slit on the battlefield for the love of Rasul-i-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, as Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, busy mending some clothing, and the needle falls out of her hand. It is night time. The little lantern she was using had also gone out. Now she was groping for the needle in the dark, trying to pick it up from the floor. She could not find it. There was no other lantern. And all of a sudden, Rasul Kareem Som enters the room, and the room becomes so illuminated that very easily she picks up that needle. She finds that needle. Such was the radiance and the nur of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of a Jewish chieftain of Khaybar, after the battle of Khaybar, among the prisoners, she was also taken into captivity. She became the slave woman of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Initially, she went into the share when the booty was distributed. She went into another Sahabi's share, but someone mentioned that this is a princess. She is a daughter of a great chieftain of the Jews. She is only worthy of you, O Rasul of Allah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took her and gave other slaves in exchange of her to that Sahabi. So the Safiya radiallahu anha, she came as a slave woman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set her free and then got married to her on that same journey. And she became the Ummul Mu'mineen, the wife of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Nabi Sallam noticed a scar on the face of the Safiya radiallahu anha. He asked her, that how did this scar come onto your face? She related the story. She says, O Rasul of Allah, before I got married to you, I was in the marriage of that certain Jew. And one night I saw a dream. In a dream I saw that a full moon in the sky descends from the skies, comes down slowly but surely, and comes and rests into my lap. She says, the next morning I related this dream to my Jewish husband. He slapped me very hard across the face. And that is the reason for the scar. The reason for him slapping me, she says, that he said to me, that are you already seeing dreams from today of becoming the wife of the Nabi of the Muslimin? In others, even he acknowledged the beauty of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that full moon depicted and symbolized the beauty of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So such is the beauty of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why should a person not have love for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he had unparalleled beauty? Another reason why a person is attracted to another in this world is because of the attribute of Nawal. Jamal and Nawal. Nawal meaning generosity. Nabi Karim saw some generosity was such. On one occasion, when a poor person, a Bedouin, came to Nabi saw some that his village, people of his village were starving, they need food. It so happened on that occasion, there was many livestock in the Baitul Mal. There were a lot of goats. There was a valley full of goats, in fact. So Nabi Sallam gave the whole valley full of goats to this person. Take it back to your village. Feed the people. He was so astonished. He went to his people and said to them, come into the deen of such a Nabi that gives in such abundance as if there is no end to his treasures. Nabi Sallam never used to say no to a beggar. Any beggar that came to the door, he would look to the needs of that beggar. If there was nothing available that day, he would tell the beggar to come on another day. In other words, the word la did not exist in the vocabulary of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why one poet says, ma qala la illa fi tashahhudihi lawla tashahhudu lakana la'u na'amu. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said la. Today you go to the Jeddah airport through immigration. Whatever you ask, everything is la, la, la. Most of them are not accommodating. They're not prepared to help you, unfortunately. As if they do not know na'am in their vocabulary. They only know la. Here was exact opposite. The poet says Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never knew the word la. This did not exist in his vocabulary. And if the tashahud were not there, in tashahud we have to read ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. If there was no tashahud, then even this la did not exist in the vocabulary of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, someone brought a great amount of gold coins for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to distribute. Nabi sallallahu did not go to rest and to sleep until he distributed every single piece of those gold coins. Such was his generosity. And then another reason why a person is attracted to the next is because of qarabat, closeness. Look at the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this ummat. Allah Ta'ala himself says, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minin min anfusihim." That Nabi is closer to the believers than even their own souls. Such is the closeness of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to every single ummat, ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when all these factors are prevalent, Jamal, Nawal, and this Qarabat, and together with that there is Kamal as well. Kamal meaning, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, Ana sayyidu wuldi Adam, biyadi liwa'u alhamd, wala fakhr, aw kama qala li salatu salam. That on the day of Qiyamah, I will be declared the leader of the entire progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu salam. I will have with me the flag of the praise of Allah. Meaning that on that day, when every Nabi will be in that condition of nafsi, nafsi, no Nabi will have the courage to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede for Allah ta'ala to commence the retribution and the account of deeds. Nabi sallallahu only will have that courage. He will go down in sajda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the accountability will begin. So in that sense, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will be declared the leader on that day. I will hold the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu in that sajda will praise Allah ta'ala with such words that no single creation had ever praised Nabi Allah ta'ala in that fashion. So all these attributes, jamal, kamal, nawal, qarabat, requires that we have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi. So the three rights of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi, we shall continue in the majlis after Isha, the remaining two rights, that of aqidat and that of itaat. Now we have just discussed the aspect of muhabbat. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of developing that true muhabbat for Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And muhabbat is not mere lip service. We have to show that muhabbat by way of following the teachings of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by following the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He who shows love for my sunnah has shown love for me, and he who will show love for me will inshallah join me in Jannah. Allah inshallah make us among the fortunate people inshallah. We shall now listen to inshallah a few masail.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah, we discuss a few masail regarding janaza salat. Firstly, janaza salat should preferably be performed in jamaat, though permissible one alone, but generally jamaat is performed, janaza salat is performed in jamaat. And the bigger the larger the jamaat, the more hope of forgiveness and rahmat descending. However, to delay the janaza namaz waiting for a larger jamaat to increase the numbers, this is incorrect. As soon as possible, the salat should be performed. Secondly, we all know that there should be preferably three safs or more than that, an odd number of safs made for the janaza salat. The right of performing the janaza salat, if it is an Islamic country, lies with the Khalifa of the Muslim or the deputy. But in our case, where it's not an Islamic country, and then the right lies with the family, the closest family members. So that's why they have the right. That's why no one else should perform it in their absence. To this extent that if somebody who does not have the right goes and performs it, then when they come, they have a right of repeating the janaza salat. Yes, they may appoint somebody else, an alim or anyone else, to perform the janaza salat on their behalf. Well, the person, the mayyit, the janaza that we're going to perform of that person, there are few criterions need to be met, few conditions for the janaza salat being valid. Firstly, this person should be a Muslim. Secondly, he should be pure of all type of najasat, meaning that ghusl should have been done. If ghusl does not take place, janaza salat will not be permissible on this body. However, after ghusl has taken place, if then too some impurity comes out of his body, then too janaza salat may be performed without repeating the ghusl. The third condition is that his satr must be covered. Fourthly, he should be in front of the imam, in front of the musallis. Number five, he should be put on the ground, not being carried at that time of the janaza salat. It should be put on the ground. And number six, he should be present. Janaza salat on those on a person who is not present is not permissible. Janaza salat has to be performed on somebody who is there. Janaza salat, there are two main farad in janaza salat. One is the four takbirs, and secondly, to stand and perform janaza salat for those who can manage to stand, qiyam. Together with that, we all know the sequence. Very quickly, the takbir takes place, and then thana is read, another takbir takes place, Durud Ibrahim is read. Thereafter, after the third takbir, the dua is read. For adults, there's the dua that is common, and for children, there's a different dua. And then the fourth takbir, immediately after that, salam. Two salams. The difference between the imam and the muqtadi is janaza namaz. The only difference is the imam will say the takbir is allowed, and the muqtadi will say it softly. That's why, though we should say it audibly enough to hear ourselves, but there's no need to say it in a chorus form and say it loud. Furthermore, janaza salat is not allowed to be performed in the masjid. According to the Hanafi madhab, janaza salat is not allowed to perform in the masjid. A person who unfortunately commits suicide, janaza salat will be performed of him. people who come late for the janazah salat, if they join after the imam has started already, then if they come after the first takbir, then they should wait for the next takbir. They should not start in the middle of the two takbirs. They should wait for the next takbir and they should start there. That's if you come after one takbir or two takbirs or three takbirs. And up to the fourth takbir. Now if a person comes after the fourth takbir, he wishes to join, and the imam is about to make salah, then he should not wait. Now obviously there's no takbir after it. Immediately he should join, though the fourth takbir is over, he should still join. Otherwise he's going to miss the janazah namaz. Now in the case where he misses one or two or three takbirs, whatever amount, and after, as soon as the imam makes his salah, and then this person should complete the takbirs without reciting the du'as. He should merely make the takbirs and then he makes his salam. In the case where a person fears missing janazah salat completely, if he's going to engage in wudu, a person doesn't have wudu at all, and if he's going to make wudu and join, by that time the janazah salat will be over. Because janazah salat cannot be repeated, it is permissible for him to make tayammum and join the janazah namaz. It is fear of him missing the janazah namaz, then he should make tayammum and join the janazah salat. A child, a baby that is born and is alive and then passes away, even if it's after a few minutes, a few hours, whatever the case may be, janazah salat of that baby will be performed. In the case where a baby is still born, that is born dead, then janazah salat will not be performed that baby. In the case where a person was buried for whatever reason without janazah salat being performed, or in the case where janazah salat was performed but you realize after and he's buried and you realize that ghusl was not made prior to the janazah salat being performed. So either there was no janazah salat and he was buried, he's already buried, or he's buried and you realize janazah was performed but no ghusl was made prior to that janazah namaz. And then now salat can take place, janazah salat can take place at his qabr. Janazah salat can take place at his qabr. The reason why here, if the case where janazah salat is performed without wudu, or without ghusl being given to him, that janazah salat is invalid. So now in this case here, it's not possible to take out the body. So now it can be, janazah salat can be made. This masala, especially where you have people who have accepted Islam and for some reason the families do not want to release the body and do not want a Muslim burial to take place. And many times, even though they have signed an affidavit or so, you cannot fight them because they are the family and they have the right. So in that case, we are not allowed to perform janazah salat if they don't allow us to make ghusl. Because ghusl is a precondition, as we heard in the beginning. Yes, once they have buried, then we may perform janazah salat at the gravesite. And lastly, there is no dua after janazah salat. Janazah salat itself is a dua. There is no dua after janazah salat.